In the 1960s and 70s, smog was easily visible in the nation's cities and industrial centers. Health for residents was declining, and it was easy to see that air pollution played at least some part in that. In 1963, Congress passed the Clean Air Act to prevent air pollution and protect the ozone layer. It was a good first step, but it had no teeth. Major amendments were added in 1970 that resulted in a major shift in the federal government's role in air pollution control. Four major regulatory programs were initiated to control pollution from stationary sources like power plants. The Clean Air Act also resulted in the birth of the Environmental Protection Agency. Ever since then, the EPA has been the federal government's environmental watchdog, in theory. A pair of lawsuits argues that the EPA is slacking on an important provision of the Clean Air Act, making sure that pollution in one state doesn't affect the air quality in another. Here's IER's Beth Edwards.
A pair of court decisions may force the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to revise the way it handles the amount of air pollution allowed to travel from heavy polluting states, like Indiana, to downward states. The decisions come mid-September after two environmental groups and several states sued the EPA for not doing enough to protect states downwind to heavy polluters. Neil Gormley is a staff attorney for the environmental legal group Earth Justice.
The Clean Air Act is designed to protect public health. It starts with EPA deciding what level of pollution is consistent with protecting public health, what level of air pollution is safe, and then it relies on states to do the primary work of cleaning up their air. The problem is that air pollution doesn't stay within state boundaries. So upwind states, when they emit pollution, that pollution actually travels across state lines and makes the air quality worse in downwind states. And that's exactly the problem that we have today, where many states, including a lot of states in the Midwest that have a lot of coal-fired power plants and other industrial sources of pollution, are emitting smog that blows across state lines and causes unhealthy air quality in downwind states. And this has really serious consequences for human health.
Gormley represented two environmental groups, the Sierra Club and the Appalachian Mountain Club, in the suit. The Clean Air Act outlines the EPA's responsibilities for protecting and improving the nation's air quality. Under the law, the EPA must establish emission standards, known as National Ambient Air Quality Standards, for harmful air pollutants, such as criteria pollutants. A part of the Clean Air Act requires states to do something about the cross-state pollution. Under the Good Neighbor provision of the law, the EPA must prohibit states from emitting pollution in amounts that could affect the air quality in other states and prevent them from attaining and maintaining pollutant standards. The cross-state pollution requirements have been modified several times by new rules, with the most recent regulation issued in 2016 by the Obama administration. The 2016 Cross-State Air Pollution Rule update placed further limitations on emissions from power plants across state lines. But the Sierra Club, the Appalachian Mountain Club, and several states sued the EPA in 2018, saying the rule did not go far enough to stop upwind states from spreading their pollutants to downwind states.
So it was, we talked with Sierra Club and we talked with Appalachian Mountain Club, and we realized that EPA actually has a legal obligation to take steps when upwind states aren't controlling their pollution. It's EPA's job to step in and do that. And this actually was under the Obama administration. And the Obama administration ended up issuing a rule that was sort of a half measure. It achieved some reductions in air pollution, which was good, but EPA admitted that the reductions that it achieved were not enough to achieve healthy air in downwind states. So that was why we filed a lawsuit, and we argued that while half a step was better than nothing, EPA needed to finish the job. It needed to find a way to reduce the pollution enough that people living downwind would actually have the clean air that the Clean Air Act is intended to provide.
The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit Court on September 13th found that the updated rule's limited scope led to a significant omission, a deadline for compliance. The updated rule does not require upwind states to eliminate their significant contributions to downwind ozone pollution by that date, or any date for that matter, the three-judge panel wrote. The court ruled that the open-ended compliance timeframe exceeded the bounds of the EPA's statutory authority and allowed the states to continue contributing to downwind states' air pollution. On September 18th, attorneys for the EPA asked the court to indefinitely delay oral arguments while the agency decides how to proceed. Cormley said the ruling reinforces the action that the EPA should take to protect the nation's air quality.
The decision last week confirms a bedrock principle, and that is that the Clean Air Act requires EPA to achieve clean air in accordance with the standards that it has already set by the deadlines in the Act. It has to do it on time. And unfortunately, there are multiple areas, multiple types of air pollution, multiple regions of the country where EPA is not doing what it has to do to ensure clean air by the deadlines.
The decision affected a similar case brought against the EPA by six states and New York City. The plaintiffs argued that the EPA was not doing enough to abide by the Clean Air Act's good neighbor provision. The EPA said it is considering rewriting a 2018 update to the rule. Attorneys representing the EPA asked the court to indefinitely delay oral arguments while it makes its decision. The court set an October 29th deadline for the EPA's decision. The Sierra Club ruling and the EPA's decision in the second case could affect air quality and emissions in the state of Indiana. Under Indiana law, the state's Environmental Rules Board is prohibited from adopting a rule or standard that is more stringent than the corresponding regulation or standard established under federal law. That means that what the EPA decides often becomes the standard the state will follow for environmental enforcement. Since 2015, ozone levels in the state have increased significantly. The increase is most notable in the state's industrial centers. In Columbus, reported ozone days from 111 in 2015 to 242 in 2018. The Elkhart-Goshen area rose from 96 days in 2015 to 194 days in 2018. Indianapolis also experienced an increase in the amount of yearly ozone days. It jumped from 122 in 2015 to 145 in 2018. The EPA has not said when it will make a decision on rewriting its cross-state air pollution rule.
Really, our understanding of how important clean air grows. There are new scientific advances and growing scientific understanding of how important clean air is and how harmful air pollution is. There was, for example, a study that came out of the University of Washington earlier this year that found that just a small increase in smog pollution, and that again is the pollutant that's at issue in our cases, just a small increase in smog pollution outdoors is the equivalent of smoking a pack a day for 29 years in terms of your risk of developing emphysema. And that's just one of the many health problems that we know air pollution causes. We know that particle pollution, for example, unfortunately robs many Americans of their lives every year, and the toll is even higher in other countries around the world. So what I want to emphasize is that really there's still an air pollution crisis in this country, and it's kind of an invisible crisis because you don't always see it, but the science is clear, and EPA needs to do a lot more to protect public health.